Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Well, hello and welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson, and in the Relationship Podcast, I like to talk about all things in terms of the human experience, and we're talking about relationships in particular. I'm going to share something. This is a very personal experience for me. I attended a funeral for my uncle. He was in the U.S. military as a career, and he was given a military burial, which is the 21-gun salute, and it was something that was, I've never, well, he's the first uncle that I've had that passed away that I was able to attend the service. This was a person who was my mother's brother, and he was the youngest, and he's the last to have passed away, so that whole generation is now gone, and that is something that I will share with you what that's like when I can kind of get my head around everything. But I think just for the experience of having been at a memorial service that was attended by, there were other individuals in the audience who were military also. And, you know, this has nothing to do with wars or fighting or anything like that, but it is just the ceremony that goes with somebody who has made being a career military person part of his life, and to see the honor that they bestow upon someone who has committed his life to doing something for the country. It is something to watch and to be amazed. And like I said, I got choked up by it. And, you know, that I think the experience that we all tend to have as human beings when somebody passes away, there is we deal with the grief, you know, the loss. And in the case of my cousin, who had spent many of his adult years caring for my uncle, you know, it's sort of bittersweet. He obviously had taken on a lot. That is, my cousin had taken on a lot caring for his dad. And albeit there is the loss of no longer having the parent, of which I can definitely relate because my mother passed away a few years ago. But in the case of my cousin, it's now knowing that his dad, who, you know, had some illness, he no longer has to worry about him being comfortable. And with that, there is also the ability that now he can focus on his own life. That is, my cousin, he can focus on his own life. And that with his family, his wife and his children, and they can become more of a focus for him. So while there is the sadness of, like I had shared, the watching the transition happen for him, and I'm just speaking to this right off the top of my head. This is not a show where I do things that are scripted. So it's still quite a bit of emotion that's tied into it for me. And, you know, something else I wanted to relate to. And quite often at these kinds of circumstances, you know, people get together when somebody has passed away, and we often ask, well, how come it takes a funeral for all of us to get together? And I gave some thought as to why that is. And, you know, that is we, the adult children of this older generation who has since passed on. And I looked at it from the standpoint of we were the children of these individuals, and the children did what the adults told us to do. And whereas, even though we've been adults ourselves for quite some time, it was the kind of thing where our adult parents made the decisions, they told us what to do, and then we sort of followed along. And So there was that parent-child kind of relationship. And if this is something that you've experienced, I think if you haven't already figured this out, then this may resonate with you to hear this answer and then to maybe understand it and look in your own situation. If you happen to have some of the same sort of feelings, you know, why do we wait so long before we as extended family members decide to come together and see each other? And I think that sort of explains it. And now that we are the adults, the survivors of the individuals, obviously we will make the choices, make the decisions to come together, you know, have the family reunions and be in charge of planning and that sort of thing. But I think the reason this didn't happen, say, you know, have lots of gatherings and things like we have now decided to do, is because we were the children. And that sort of helps put to rest maybe some of the angst that we have felt, because as kids, on occasion, we, you know, cousins, relatives, that sort of thing, we would talk to each other on the phone. And in my family, we never had any drama. So some people, that's just part of their life where there's one sibling or one person in a family has a feud with another person, and then that sort of spins up and the conversations go back and forth. So people tend to choose sides and it's a lot of drama. See, fortunately, my family never had any of that. And we have all remained close over the years. So this is going to make it even more interesting and even more fun to figure out how we as family, as individuals, will choose to get together, whether it's having a reunion at one place or if we're going to take vacations together, you know, however it comes together, whatever happens, I'm a person who's going to be on board. And so that I can make something of this more doable for me, because I have been very much the kind of person that works. I've always worked. That's sort of been my place of being comfortable, and never really took a lot of vacations. So this sort of opens that area of life up for me. And, you know, I have a long life to live, hopefully, and we'll be able to do this and talk about it in the future. So, okay, I'm going to, you know, transition on to something else, but I just kind of wanted to share that of my own personal experience. And if it is something that might be familiar to you, and you sort of have those questions, or maybe if you haven't thought about it before, just consider if you're a child of adults who are older and they don't seem to have the family reunions and things like they used to, maybe that you would have attended when you were a kid or doing the cross-country trips or however it came about for you, you know, you can make those choices. And what I would hope is that if you have an opportunity to visit with some of those older relatives, to ask about your relatives that may no longer be around, you know, ask about some of the stories, take down names, you know, take pictures, and then ask, you know, who is this, and get some sort of relationship history going on, because there are so many interesting things that can be shared for future generations. You know, there are things about my grandfather that I didn't know. And being that my mother happened to have been the one who was a traveler, they remembered my mom. And obviously I look like my mom and they recognized me, but it was so great that she was so well liked, that she was so remembered and revered, in the memories of the individuals that I had a chance to speak to. And when she passed away, obviously they didn't get a chance to be at her service, because this was, something that it wasn't local to them. But, you know, it's just sort of nice to know about the people. So, like I said, you know, when the opportunity presents itself for you to be able to fellowship with some of the senior members of your family, to be able to ask them about their lives and the stories that they would be able to tell about people, and I think you will not only honor yourself by being able to show the reverence to the older generation, but make them feel like they are very much a part of your family and let them know how important they are and that they've survived a lot. So I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back after the messages. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the gold standard in music podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson. And in this segment, I'm going to talk about an experience that it was a conversation that came up. I was having a discussion with someone about text messaging and how things can, the meaning of which can sort of get lost in translation. That is, when you are having a conversation, a face-to-face conversation, or perhaps over the telephone, or if any way in which you can actually see the person, when the conversation sort of shifts, you can be in real time with that, meaning that you can read a person's body language, you can hear the intonation in their voice and follow along and sort of pick up where people are going. Now, when you're text messaging, you're sort of playing their voice in your head, so to speak, and imagining where the conversation is going. And then you read the words on your screen and by reading it, you infer what you think they mean. Now, if the conversation tends to get derailed for some reason, and just for the illustration purposes, quite often when people have bad news to deliver, they will do it through a text message. I think we've all known that kind of thing to happen. So you sort of imagine the person's voice saying these words to you, at least in your head anyway, and you respond accordingly. So, you know, the thought process is this. You know, when there is that shift, let's say you go from picking up good news and then the conversation turns because there's a disagreement of some type and things tend to go negative. And like I say, we're playing this sort of soundtrack in our mind as to how they may be verbalizing this thing to us. You know, we're reading the screen. And how you respond in those moments really says a lot about you. As much as you may think it says something about them, because you are reading, yes, you're reading their words, but how you respond says a lot about you. Because in the instance, and I'm just going to jump ahead here, in the instance that you may have misinterpreted something that they put in the message, or maybe they misspelled something, or something of that nature, this thing can get derailed. And the conversation that I was having with my friend is we were talking about how misunderstandings happen. And it used to be when you had a misunderstanding with someone, you know, you were doing this verbal thing, and it might even be a disagreement when you started, but you're trying to work out the differences, and you may just not come to an agreement, at least not right then and there, but you kind of knew where you stood. But when these things happen in the context of a conversation that goes back and forth because you're reading words on a screen where there is so much that can be misinterpreted, and oftentimes the important bits and pieces, like I say, bits and pieces, it's in the details, and it may not be evident that there could be a shift. And if you misunderstand something, you may be running with it the wrong direction for a long time, and it could even, there could even be an apology somewhere layered in some of that intonation. But if you are reading a screen and you are getting upset, or you find yourself getting more and more heated, you got to take ownership of that. And as much as it might, you want to blame the person who's sending you the words, this is one of those things where you could either fall in line with how you think this conversation is going, or, I mean, obviously my thing was, they pick up the phone and call them and talk to them. You know, hopefully they'll answer the phone. You know, maybe they won't. But how you respond in these moments really could set the tone for where the relationship is going to go. And if it's something that you value, you have to learn, and I'm going to say it this way, you have to learn not to take the bait. The bait being to fall in with the discussion if it's going negative and want to do this text war back and forth. Because invariably, it takes someone who's willing to break the cycle. Now, this may be a little easier when you are face-to-face with someone, because the motivation to be able to touch, to be able to console, you know, look in someone's eyes, you know, all of those signals, they're not necessarily there when you're doing it through a text message. And what I find so uniquely important is how we interpret the words that we see. We also interpret sounds that we hear, but we interpret the words that we see. And when you're angry, we tend to just continue to stay in that place. So you have to learn to stop, pause, and think about, what do you want? What do you want? Not so much do you want to keep in the fight with this person on the text message, but what do you want? Do you want a better outcome? Do you want to make peace with this person? Do you want to be happy? What? And because of that, if you want something different, you're going to have to send a different kind of message rather than to toe the line or stay in this combat of sending angry text messages back and forth. Young people are very, very adept at texting. And I say young, and I'm using this because there are people that text messaging isn't something that they did all the time. It's something that we've sort of, in this culture, we've learned to do because that is a way of communicating. You know, I remember where telephones was a primary way of communicating, and now that we use text messaging and our cell phones are so much a part of our lives, and there's so many ways in which we utilize our cell phones, but I'm speaking specifically to people who would use a text message to communicate and to argue and all of those things. You have to decide, what outcome do you want? And then work towards that outcome, making peace. And that's what I'm looking at here. Let's say you want to make peace with someone. I think you should send words of comfort, words of love, words of something in the way of, look, I don't want to be in a fight with you. I ultimately think the best way to solve these types of things is really having a conversation with them, if not over the phone, you know, face to face. But short of that, being in a position where you may tank the relationship you have with someone because you decided to stay in the fight rather than to learn to be able to make peace. And this applies to whether it's a boyfriend and girlfriend, whether you're siblings, you know, some sort of relative relationship like that. And this is my philosophy, but this is something that I've seen happen. I've seen misunderstandings that go way beyond what they have to be. And then you wind up having to do damage control. And that's ultimately another thing that you want to think about, because the more hurtful words you put out there, the more you have to take back if you want to have that relationship. And where do you want to be in that conversation? There are many of us who are very good at slinging the insults or slinging words that can really shut people down. But is that really what you want to do? And I would hope not, because for what it's worth to have the relationship with the person, I mean, the fact that they're having a disagreement, I mean, I guess they care about you a little bit, and maybe they're trying to find some way to work out some differences. And some people aren't very good at problem solving. So this is an opportunity for you to learn to practice that kind of thing. Practice the problem solving. Practice introducing nice words, making peace with people, and rather than staying all fired up and throwing out a lot of angry words. And here's something that sometimes we don't think about, but whenever we send out something into the internet, text messages, whatever, it's out there. It's out there forever and ever, and you can't necessarily get that back. And because of that, that's why I say you need to be very, very careful about what you say, what you send, words, pictures, all of that. Because if it's something that might ultimately be your downfall because of, say, a misinterpretation of things somebody else did, then that would probably be a pretty awful price to pay. So think about it. Again, that's my philosophy. Just offering, you know, bits of wisdom, because I've seen these things go directions people don't want them to go. And I've made a few mistakes myself, inadvertently thinking that somebody meant something else, and come to find out it was myself who was misunderstanding something. So there. I'm going to take another break, and I'll be right back shortly after that.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
GSMC Beauty Tips Podcast gives you advice on everything from hair to fashion to skincare products. We'll talk about the latest trends in makeup, hairstyles, and anti-aging remedies. And we'll cover all of the newest fashion trends. If you have an interest in or questions about the beauty trends that might work best for you, the Golden State Media Concepts Beauty Tips Podcast has got you covered. Download the GSMC Beauty Tips Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts. Just type GSMC in the search bar.
Hello, and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson. In this last segment, I'm going to cover something. I was talking to a friend of mine, and one of the things that she had complained about is she had been talking to guys, and they seemed to just disappear. I mean, I'm just kind of cut to the chase here. She kind of developed a connection, a communication, you know, the texting, and I guess phone calls and things like that, too. And then after a few encounters like that, then all of a sudden, push, they're gone. And I think it left her feeling a bit bothered, obviously, because she didn't have any indication that they were going to just disappear. Well, I'm a guy, so I'm going to unpack a few things here. And where this goes has to do with sometimes guys become very afraid, because if you are a lot more, and I'm saying this to a woman, this is a compliment, if you are a lot more than they expected, meaning you're not just somebody who's shallow, but someone who has a lot going on for you, guys oftentimes become intimidated by that. Now, not everybody. I'm just talking about the guys that disappear. And sometimes guys aren't really sure of themselves. They're not necessarily sure about what they want. And because they don't know, it's a lot of things, it's more of a trial and error, so to speak. You know, it's like a guy, he goes out to the batting cages and he tries this bat and he tries that bat. You know, he's swinging at all the balls that are coming at him. And, you know, one bat's too heavy and then another bat is too short. And then another one is too light, you know. So I know that's sort of an analogy, and it just is an example of guys oftentimes communicate with women, and it's not necessarily a very conscious thing they do. They just like to talk. And when they don't really have a purpose, it's sort of like banter. Even if you think they're trying to get at you, you know, if you were to offer sex to a guy, would he turn it down? You know, probably not. You know, it's just one of those individual things. It might be more of, you know, the opportunity kind of thing. But that's just something that guys do. And unless they're really intent, if they're driving toward a specific purpose, then you may get more of a sense of what they're after. I mean, are they after companionship? Are they after sex? Do they want to have a date this weekend? You know, those kinds of things. But when the conversations seem to be, you know, fairly general in nature, you know, not about something real specific, well, it's, you know, they could be feeling you out. They might want to see what, you know, what kind of interests you have, or what your experiences have been. And one of the things that I want to caution you as a woman, if you're listening to a guy have a conversation with you, and, you know, sometimes guys seem fairly self-absorbed. You know, they'll talk about their sports, they'll talk about their buddies, they'll talk about their car and things like that. That's what guys do. But what I'm going to suggest is not that you have to endure that kind of thing, because obviously if it's boring and it's not interesting, well, you know, change the conversation or tell him, you know, I'd rather talk about something else. But guys tend to do that when they're not very clever about figuring out something that's interesting to talk about. So when they run into a woman who has something on the ball, and I mean that as a compliment, someone who's really got their stuff together, guys can feel a bit disoriented around something like that, around that sort of conversation. Let's say, for example, you want to talk about religion or politics or anything like that, something that is not sports, but something that's really engaging. Well, because a lot of people just take what they hear on the news and they haven't really put a lot of thought into it, unless they are really into the art of conversation, which is the discussion, the discovery, the give and take nature of something like that, you might find that they're just very shallow, and that's not interesting. And when men can't just BS you with just a bunch of chatter, then they're going to disappear. And a lot of guys are at that level until they figure out women, until they figure out women are sophisticated, they're educated, and deciding to ask the kinds of questions that find out what are their needs. You know, what are your needs as a woman? And I know a lot of women I have spoken to, they actually know what their needs are. They know what's interesting to them, and they're fairly articulate. They have diverse interests. They have lots of causes, the reasons that they feel that give them a purpose. And that's very attractive. And if you're a woman, you know, keep that. Don't let that go. But if you're trying to figure out why guys tend to show up and disappear, it's when they run into that side of you, then they're just not sure about if they can keep up with that. So you might find yourself asking some critical questions in the very beginning. And when the guys want to talk about the sports and things like that, I would say steer the conversation towards what are their interests in terms of long-term goals. Ask them something about their life, you know, their relationship with their dad or their mom, or something about family. You see, ask him about that, because that is going to give you a clue as to how they operate around people. You know, ask them something about their best friend, and, you know, when was the last time they spoke, or what did they do? Because these are the kinds of things that will give you clues as to how they communicate, the kinds of things that are interesting to them, and if that's something that resonates with you. It could be museums. It could be fishing trips. It could be hunting trips. Women have lots of diverse interests. I know this because I've spoken to women. But when you want to find out what's compatible with you in terms of the guy's experience, because you don't want people just becoming chameleons. You don't want them to just say, okay, they're listening to you and then trying to figure out what you like just to get at you. Because over a period of time, that act, that performance is going to become very hard to keep up. And I think that's the point at which you begin to lose interest, because there's something about this that seems fake, that seems plastic, that doesn't seem authentic. And people who are good at reading other individuals are very good at being chameleons around them. And there's reasons for that. And sometimes it has to do with the dysfunction and sometimes it's good reasons. I can cover that in another podcast, but I'm just trying to get you as a woman, if you're trying to figure out why guys tend to come and go, sometimes it's part of that individual's nature. And like I say, you need to ask questions of the guy about his experience, his best friends, what his family life is like. What are some of his goals? What are some of the things that he's accomplished? What are some of the things that he's failed at? See, that's an interesting question. And why did that's a question that shows some vulnerability. Because a lot of us talk about our successes and, you know, we have trophies on our mantle and certificates and things like that. I tend to ask a person, what are the things that you failed at? Because failure is not a bad word, and not in my book. Because in my book, if you haven't failed at something, that means you haven't tried hard enough to learn or to do something. Because failing is part of your learning experience as a human being. And when you are vulnerable enough to want to share that kind of thing with someone and not worry that somebody's going to judge you, then that, to me, that's self-confidence. Because I think what we find in those moments of vulnerability is something that we can share in common, because we've all failed at something. And when we start talking about some of the things that we fail at, then you can look at, wow, that was a pretty lofty goal to have. And, you know, they may have failed at not achieving the end result that they started out, but they may have climbed, you know, quite a bit up that mountain and saw something else that they were interested in. So it took them a different direction. And that's a part of life's journey too. And those are the kind of experiences that I think you want to share with somebody who's interesting and vulnerable. And I think when you do that, you will find that people disappear less and less from your life, and you start to have much more in the way of interesting people want to join you. And then you might get to the place where, geez, you're saturated with all of these wonderful, interesting, creative people. And, you know, wouldn't that be nice? Okay, I'm going to have to wrap this up. I'm John Johnson. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I want to thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.